This is the What I Live For podcast for Thursday, April 16th, 2020. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the What I Live For podcast. And today I'm talking to my friend Valerie. You can find Valerie on Instagram at sweaty_until_happy_. Me and Valerie have history over the last a little less than a year. She's one of the people I talk to on a regular basis. I've been on her podcast several times. And I've been trying to get her on this podcast, but it's just schedules just have not worked out until now. When I recorded this episode, I fully expected to know a lot about Valerie's story. Because I talked to her on a regular basis, but once we really got into the episode, she started sharing stuff that I had no clue, that she's dealt with. Valerie is one of those people that just says what she thinks and she doesn't, excuse that. She's very blunt and upfront. Sometimes it's controversial, but, I think that she says what's on her mind and she speaks from the heart, and I appreciate it for that. But we talk about a lot of stuff in this episode that, like I said, I did not know, because I talked to Valerie on a daily basis, and she really opened up on this episode, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Other than that, let's just get right into it, because it's that good of an episode. So let's just get right into it.
Hi, Willie.
Hi. It's taking you months to get on this podcast. Look, you're here now.
I feel like I finally made it in the podcast world.
I've been trying to do this for months. Somebody's too busy for me, though.
It's been quite pathetic. I'm not even going to try to sugarcoat that. Yeah.
So how have you been, even though I've talked to you all day?
We talk all day, every day. Yeah, that's true. I'm good. I'm currently sitting in a parking lot because I don't have good service by my apartment, and I'm just watching the snowstorm move over the mountain. So it's kind of pretty right now.
Oh my goodness. So we have been talking about doing this forever. So now you're on the podcast, and I asked this same question to everybody, is where did you grow up?
I grew up in Pacifica, California. It's about 20 minutes south of San Francisco. So I grew up going to sporting events like 49ers and the Giants. Mm-hmm. Grew up right on the beach. I live in a beach town. I grew up less than a mile from the beach, and the beach has always kind of been like my quiet place, my oasis, where I want to go when life's just too hectic. Obviously here in Reno,
yep.
I don't have a beach, but
you have snow, as you just said.
Oh my gosh. We've had a really mild winter this year.
Yeah.
Here it is March 1st, and winter decided it wants to show up finally. Like, this is ridiculous.
But certain people would enjoy snow. Some people, like us in Texas, who don't get snow. I'm just saying.
I'll trade you my 37-degree weather today for your 70-degree weather, okay?
No, I'm good. I enjoy my 70-degree weather. Especially when it gets down to like 40, and then I'm like, what am I going to do?
I'm a firm believer that shivering burns extra calories, so
I don't think that's true. That's not accurate.
Why do you have to burst my bubble all the time?
This is what I do.
Touche.
So you grew up in Pacifica. What was your childhood like?
My childhood was... We never really had a lot of money. Mm-hmm. My dad always worked. My mom worked off and on. It wasn't until my parents divorced when I was 8 that my mom had steady work, and she was working sometimes 2 to 3 jobs just to make ends meet.
Yeah.
And then my freshman year of high school, my mom met the man who became my stepdad. And so we moved from Pacifica to Woodland, which is near Sacramento, so a couple hours north.
Yep.
And went to high school there. Shortly after she passed away in 2005, I moved back to Pacifica to live with my grandpa to kind of take care of him after my mom's death. And then, you know, met my ex-husband and lived there and then been in Reno. This May will be 4 years I've been here. So, kind of moved all over the place.
Yeah.
Never thought I really set roots down until I came up here. So.
And when you were in school, were you more of an academic or were you into sports? I know you say you guys grew up poor. So like, what did you ever like do any kind of sports or anything or academics or anything?
Yeah. So I was really good in school. I was a straight A student. And then I played sports. I played soccer and softball. Mm-hmm. I think I started soccer around like 8 years old and softball maybe around 10.
Yeah.
And I played soccer until I was 14 or 15 because I tore my ACL and then I never played soccer again. But I played softball well until I threw like 18. So didn't play for – I played freshman soccer for my high school, like my freshman year. But I never played like sports in high school. Like I played on like rec league teams, but I didn't play for my high school. So I was a bit of both. I was an athlete and I was a bookworm. So –
And what did you, I think you told me this, didn't you graduate with honors in high school?
Yeah, I did. I was a little smarty pants in high school. I've forgotten.
Let's talk about it. Like what?
I really liked school. And so I think moving my freshman year to a new city where I knew nobody. So I started high school in September of 2000. In my hometown, at my high school, with everyone I've gone to school with my entire life, right? Yeah, yeah. And then 3 months into high school, my mom uproots me to a whole new town 100 miles away where I don't know anybody. Mm-hmm. So my grades from the first 3 months at my, like, hometown high school were terrible because I was a freshman. Like, who wants to go to school? I was a freshman dating a senior. I was too cool for school already at 14, apparently. Mm-hmm. And then when I moved, I knew nobody. So what was I going to do? Well, I guess I'll do my homework. Like,
yeah.
I didn't have friends to go hang out with after school. I had a high school boyfriend, but that was a few months after. So I got into like this church and I got into going to school and doing my homework. And I was getting really high praises from all these teachers. And I was like, I like this. Like, I like the positive, like reinforcement. I like the praise. So I just ended up focusing on my studies and it paid off academically. I got academic scholarships to college, which I regret not using now. But, you know, life sometimes throws you in different directions and you know, you're stuck at a fork in the road and you should go right, but you go left. And later on down the road, you're like, damn it, why didn't I go right? So,
But I mean sometimes that happens though. Like that kind of stuff, it just happens to you and you just kind of, you don't have to go back and regret it. You just have to say, I live that truth. And that's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way of looking at it. But I mean, I enjoyed school. I took sign language instead of like Spanish or French. So I learned like a different language. Mm-hmm. I was in choir all 4 years and I didn't start choir until I had moved. They put me in a Spanish class and it was way more accelerated than the Spanish class I was at back home. And I was like, I'm so lost. So I had the option of taking woodshop or choir. Yeah. Choir sounded like a better idea. So I took choir. And so I ended up doing choir all 4 years of high school. And even my senior year, I did show choir, which is like a performance choir of dance and singing, which is a lot harder than it looks. Yeah. Let me tell you.
I mean, I believe you.
I am no Jennifer Lopez or Shakira. Okay. Can't do that stuff. It's too hard.
Yeah. So high school seemed like it was very academic and you didn't really have a social life, right? In high school?
No, I couldn't have a social life. I was in AP classes and I was a 4.0 student and I competed with three other people for the most A's in our like graduating class. There were over 600 kids in my graduating class.
Yeah.
It was a large class and I did really well. And that's something that I'm really proud of. I just wish that my focus after high school would have been straight to college mm-hmm. versus a relationship that I was in that was really bad for me. Okay. But I didn't, you know, obviously, you know, looking back, hindsight's 20/20. But at the time I was like, oh, this is great. And this is perfect. And this is my life. And then when my mom died in 2005, I lost myself really bad mm-hmm. and made some really poor decisions. And when I moved in with my grandpa at the end of 2005, it was my saving grace. He was my like person who brought me back from all the shit that I was putting myself through.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that stuff, or are you okay with that?
Yeah. So, my mom passed away February 7th, 2005 from leukemia. She was first diagnosed in 2002.
Yeah.
Junior sophomore. Yeah, I was a sophomore in high school because I graduated 2004. Need to math, Valerie. She had beaten leukemia the first time, and when it came back with a vengeance. And she did her 7 days of chemotherapy. She came home, she contracted a bladder infection, and within 48 hours, my mom was gone.
Yeah.
So it was something that was very sudden and traumatic, and it's something that still sticks with me to this day. I mean, it's been 15 years, and I can still remember everything about the day. Like, Willie, you know me. My memory is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible. But I remember everything about that day, that night, that weekend that she was home, them taking her down the stairs, you know, to put her in the ambulance. Like, I can recall verbatim everything that the doctor said, everything that happened. And when she passed away, I was in college. I was taking a course at Western Career College in medical assisting.
Yeah.
And I should have taken a deferment with my classes. I should have put classes on hold, and I didn't. And so I feel like I was going through the motions of life, but I wasn't present. I was just waking up every day, going to school, doing the bare minimum to pass and leaving, which was not like me, because yeah. I was always an overachiever with academics. And my boyfriend at the time was abusive, physically and emotionally and mentally. Mm-hmm. And my way of coping with it was cocaine. Mm-hmm. And so I developed a really bad drug habit. I'm talking hundreds of dollars a day on just trying to numb myself. And so from probably March until November, it was Thanksgiving weekend. I was, you know, my boyfriend and I at the time were supposed to go visit my grandpa for Thanksgiving. You know, it was the first Thanksgiving without his daughter ever in 45 years.
Yeah.
And we were supposed to leave, and the night before, he said he wasn't going. He's like, I don't want to be around your family or you. Like, I'm just sick of everything. And I was taken aback. And so when he left, this is Thanksgiving morning, he left to go see his family. I packed up everything I could I had a 96 Dodge Caravan at the time. I packed everything I could and I left and I never went back.
Yeah.
And my drug use didn't stop then. Cause you know, when you're an addict, you find it wherever you want.
Of course.
From one town to the other, one state to the other, it doesn't matter. So it wasn't until February of 2006 that I got clean. So I just celebrated 14 years clean last month.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, and I'm not going to sit here and say that there are days when like, I don't think about it or my addiction isn't still there. Cause it is, it's always going to be there, but I've done a lot of work and I'm at the point now where like, it's not something that I need in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud that I've gone this far, because I know a lot of people, even people that I went to meetings with, you know, in 2006, 2007, 2008, those early years, they've backslid numerous yeah. times. They relapsed numerous times. I am one of the fortunate ones who got it right the first time, and I've never had a relapse.
Yeah. I mean, that stuff's not easy. Like, just addiction in general is not easy, because you might get rid of, you know, you might get rid of the addiction to drugs, but you're going to go to something else. Because if you're especially like that, really like on like drugs and like really like in it, like it's kind of hard to get rid of that without getting some kind of other addiction.
Well, the thing that's crazy is when my mom passed away, I was probably 190 pounds.
Yeah.
By her 1 year anniversary, I was in the 150 range. And I still, even in the midst of my addiction, thought that I was overweight. And then, you know, 2006 rolled around. I was a victim of sexual abuse. And I put from 2006 to 2010, I put 130 pounds on, because I literally did what you just said. I replaced one addiction with another. And I was also not dealing with the trauma of my abuse.
Yeah.
And so all I wanted to do was make myself unattractive to men, because I didn't want to go through that again.
Yeah.
And so if we would have had this conversation 10 years ago, I would not be saying the same things I'm saying now. this has all come about in the last year of me going to therapy and finally dealing with my shit.
Yeah.
Finally opening up that file box, opening up that file, and finally dealing with all the feelings and emotions and just everything from that time in my life. And it's been a lot of work, and it's hard, and it's not like, as you know, therapy can be very beneficial, but it can also be very damaging. Yeah. And I was in a really vulnerable spot last year with the separation and the impending divorce, but I knew that I needed to finally deal with stuff. And so I did that last year.
Yeah.
And it's been a year of continuous growth from that point to now. And finally realizing like why I put myself through the shit that I put myself through. Granted, I also had underlying autoimmune disorders I didn't know about until much later, but it was just a combination of too many things at once. And I was eating fast food probably 3, 4, 5 times a week.
Yeah.
While I was, you know, just living life and figuring out who I was without this relationship and who I was without my mom and who I was eventually without my grandfather, because he passed in 2010. And December of 2010, I got on the scale and I was 285 pounds. And I just remember crying my eyes out to my ex-husband and being like, how did I get here?
But you also have to remember, though, like you, you had so much trauma on top of trauma on top of trauma. Like you had so much stuff. Like you, it started with your mom and then it just built and built and built. And it just like, you never really dealt with it until like last year. But like, you have to really remember that you had so much stuff going on that you just closed that box. You closed that file box for good. And it took you until just this past year to open that, start unpacking all that stuff. And so you just like, instead of dealing with it, like most people, I've had this conversation with you, like a lot of people just don't deal with stuff and they close that box and say, I don't want to open that box ever again. But, you know, underlining, like it's stuff going on within our head. And then, you know, that comes out on the outer part of themselves. Like you can see it. Like for me, like food addiction was a big deal. And it's because I wasn't dealing with a lot of issues. And it's a lot of that stuff is the same for a lot of other people.
Well, and I think for me, a lot of the emotional and verbal abuse that I went through in that relationship, because I was really vulnerable.
Yeah.
We had been dating for about, I guess, 5 months before my mom passed away. And the physical abuse didn't start till a couple months after she passed away. But I was also deep in my addiction. Mm-hmm. I was a really hard person to deal with. Like, I'm not blaming myself because he had his own choices, but I didn't help the situation.
Yep.
And I think that, like, even now, I can remember certain instances where I locked myself in the bathroom because I was so scared, where he broke the bathroom door down to attack me, where I was in school for medical assisting, and the teacher asked if I volunteered to do an EKG, and that meant that they had to put me in, like, one of those, like, gowns that snapped down the front, mm-hmm. and then your body would be exposed, like, your, like, chest area, obviously not, like, that, but your chest and your belly.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't do it because I knew I had bruises on my body that I was hiding.
Yeah. No, I mean, I get it. Because, like, there's... Go ahead.
So, I mean, I spent so much of my life hiding my body. And with the weight gain, I hid even more. So even now with, like, 85 pounds down... And finally in Wonderland for the first time again in 5 years and being where I'm at now, I still have trouble exposing my body.
Yeah.
And that trauma is going to be lifelong. I feel like I'm going to be working through that stuff for a really long time. And I'm just trying to now figure out who I am and who I want to be. I mean, hell, I'm about to be 34 next month and I'm not there yet. Yeah. And I feel like that's okay. I feel like that's okay. For the first time in my life, I feel like that's okay that I don't know who I am, figuring it out.
I mean, I think a lot of people don't know who they are. Like, I think that it's just people, well, you know, when we grew up and like we, as kids, we're supposed to be like, in your 20s, you should know what you're going to be doing. In your 30s, you should be knowing what you're doing. I know people in their 40s, they still don't know what they're doing. Like, they're just living the life they can. And I think that's just the way life is. I don't think everybody figures it out. I think it just takes time to kind of figure out who you want to be versus who you actually are.
Well, and if you would have asked me 10 years ago, like, where do you see your life in 10 years? I would not have said divorced. I probably would not have said Reno, Nevada. I would probably have said I would have 1 or 2 kids by now.
Yeah.
And here I am divorced, no kids, living in Reno, Nevada. Like, my life right now doesn't look anything like it like I thought it would. And that's taken a lot of acceptance too. Nikki and I have actually had that conversation recently about how a lot of what I'm dealing with now is letting go of the life that I thought I was going to have. Mm-hmm. And that's also hard, because then you have the feelings of failure. You have the feelings of, you know, this life I have now isn't good enough for me, but it is. It's just different than what I thought my life was going to be.
Yeah. But I mean, that doesn't define the person you are. Like, that's just a blip in time, and you still have the ability to build the life that you want. It's just going to take a little bit more time.
Yeah, which is why, you know, I made the recent, you know, job change to be in a better financial spot.
Yeah.
I've had to cut back on, you know, expenses, things like that. Because, you know, when you're used to being with someone for 10 years and you have two incomes, going down to one, like, that's kind of rough.
Yeah. No, I mean, I understand it. Because it's just, it's harder because you're so depending on this other person to, you know, pay the bills. And then you're like, okay, I got to figure this out on my own. And it just happens.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So let's talk about your weight loss, because I know we went through like a lot of other stuff, but like, let's talk about your weight loss in general. Like, when did weight become an issue for you? Was it after your mom passed, or was it right around that time?
Weight was always an issue for me. I think, okay, I was always kind of the overweight kid. I was always bigger than everybody else. I remember being a freshman in high school playing soccer. I was, you know, I'm 5'5". I was probably 150 pounds, and everyone else was like 120, 130.
Yeah.
And so I always felt like I was bigger than everybody else. But yeah, definitely Christmas 2010. It was my first Christmas without my grandpa and my mom, obviously, because mm-hmm. he passed in August that year. My sister got engaged at Christmas, and we're so excited for her. And I just remember my little cousin Julia, who's now 16. So God, she was 6 back then, mm-hmm. took a picture of me in front of my Christmas tree of me and Matt, my ex-husband. And then she took a candid one of me from the side, and I posted up on Facebook because I was excited for, you know, mine and Matt's first Christmas and all this stuff. And we're posting all these pictures, and someone comments on it and goes, "How far along are you?"
Yeah.
And I went, "I'm not pregnant." And then I started thinking to myself, like, you know, no fault of that person, because, you know, they hadn't seen me in a while. And from the side view, I looked pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of a catalyst for me to, okay, I'm going to change this. And of course, my sister's wedding, and I want to look good in her wedding. I think I lost maybe 20 pounds for her wedding by August of 2011. And I was really proud of myself. I was working out, but my diet was still shit. I thought that I could outwork a bad diet, which you can't do that.
You cannot do that.
Imagine that concept, right? You can't eat McDonald's and work out. Like, what? This is stupid. So I wore Spanx under my dress for her wedding. And I remember the shoes I wore were just killed my feet. I had to change into flip-flops, like, after all the pictures and stuff.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't wear like a wedge heel, because I was so big. It was too much on my little 5'5" frame. A month after my sister got married, Matt proposed to me. And I just remember looking back on her wedding photos being like, I don't want to look like that in my wedding.
Yeah.
So January of 2012, I signed up for Body by Vi, which is similar to Herbalife. It's meal replacement shakes. And I dropped about 50 pounds before my wedding, September the following year. Yeah. So September 2012. And things were great. Things were good. And then in 2013, I was re-diagnosed with cancer. And I couldn't work out. And I was going through chemo and radiation. And it was something that was just really taxing on my body. I threw off all my hormones. So I'm hypothyroid, so I have an underactive thyroid. So it just took my underactive thyroid and made it completely stop working. I went from 210 at my wedding in 2012. And then I guess by 2014, I was back up to like the 250 range. My nephew was born in 2014, and I was, you know, wanting to be healthy with him, for him. And so 2014, once again, it was a really successful year for me. I went from 250-ish down to 193, which is my lowest adult weight.
Yeah.
And well, not my lowest adult weight, but my lowest weight in years, pretty much since my mom had passed away. So since I was like 19. And then, you know, in 2016, we moved to Reno, and it was just a lot of like emotional stuff. And it, for me, I thought that I could, you know, drink these meal replacement shakes, and I was doing good, and I was losing weight, and I was going to the gym. And then when I decided I didn't want to drink the shakes anymore due to some liver enzyme tests I was getting, my liver enzymes were off and the only common denominator was the shakes. So I stopped drinking the shakes and I had to start eating food again. I didn't know how to eat healthy food because I had for so long been replacing breakfast and lunch with a shake.
Yeah.
150, 200 calorie shake. And then you try to eat breakfast and you're eating 400 or 500 calorie meals for breakfast and lunch. Mm-hmm. You're obviously gonna gain weight. And so January 1st of 2017, I got on the scale and I was 271.8. So I gained back 78 pounds of like the 92 that I had lost.
Yeah. So that so the first time you just did meal replacement shakes, and then the second time that you attempted to lose weight, you did the meal replacement shakes and food? Is that correct?
I did like shakes. I was better with my food, and yeah. I started running. That's okay. When I started running and training with Team and Training, doing the half marathons. I had a friend who loved to run, so we'd go run. Like, she would come over on a Saturday. We'd go run anywhere from 5 to 8 miles.
Okay.
I mean, I was super into it. I was working out maybe 2 hours a day, 4 or 5 days a week, because I thought I had to. Now, since realized you don't fucking have to. If your diet's on point, you don't have to work out 2 hours a day. Imagine that concept, right?
So essentially you just thought that taking these shakes and eating somewhat right and then working out for like 2 hours, that was the way to get the weight off, right?
That is what worked for me in that moment, in that time. You know, fast forward to what I call my most recent restart, you know, my third attempt, January 1st, 2017. Mm-hmm. I decided, you know, I've lost the weight quickly twice now, and that didn't work for me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start with one thing at a time. I'm going to start with drinking more water and going to the gym 2 days a week. That's what I started with.
Yeah.
And I was walking all the time. Literally just walking the neighborhood, walking around Sparks Marina, because I was already living up here in Nevada. And that's what I did. And I think that first year I lost 22 pounds.
Yep.
So in 2017, I lost 22 pounds. In 2018, might have been 23. Last year, you already know this, I lost a whole 8 pounds. This mm-hmm. year so far, I'm 16. Like, so it's been 3 years of consistency, but it's been 3 years of finally fixing my relationship with food, finally understanding macros and tracking and how to do that without obsessing. Finally just really figuring this shit out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm tired of going up. I was tired of the up and down. Like, you know, I posted a lot of pictures on social media 2014 and part of 2015, right? My nephew's first year of life. He's getting bigger. I'm getting smaller. Look at me. Here I am. And then 2016, I barely posted anything because I was gaining weight rapidly. And granted, I didn't have my thyroid med for a few months because of the change from California to Nevada, and with insurance and trying to get into an endocrinologist here was really hard. And my California doctor wouldn't treat me anymore because I couldn't come in for visits and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that figured out and realized in 2017 that I was under medicated. So once we got my thyroid under control, which was about September of 2017, I started making real progress.
Yeah.
Last year I had been introduced to Beachbody before, but last July I signed up and I did Morning Meltdown 100 for the first time, you know, the 100 workouts in 100 days. And and I attempted that this year, and apparently I'm not as agile and young as I wanted to be. And now I'm nursing a hip injury, but you know, it is what it is.
But you really have to think about it though. Like, with you though, is you started all this in 2017, like you steadily lost weight by doing it the quote unquote right way. And then you also started this whole 100-day workout plan back in, you know, 2018, and then you completed it by November of 2018. And then, like...
2019.
Sorry, 2019. And I'm forgetting what year it is. You really think about it. Like, you did Morning Meltdown last year, and you lost 8 pounds, but, like, you're not even doing that this year, and you're still losing, like, over double what you lost last year.
In 2 months, I've lost 6.6 pounds so far this year. And I think that the thing is for me, you know, I did no pizza, no alcohol January, and that was a really good healthy reset for me. My boyfriend and I met in November. And, you know, the early stage of a relationship, right? You're going out a lot. You're going out to eat. You're drinking. Oh, yeah. You're all those, the dating in general, like all those things last year. So last year to me, I don't want to say it was a wash because I ended the year less than what I started, which was my goal in every of these years. I just wanted to end the year less than what I started. But it was also a year of a lot of growth and a lot of acceptance and a lot of like emotional shit, like with the divorce and everything. And I feel like I started 2020 mentally really fucking strong.
Yeah.
And I knew that the foundations that I've been setting over these last few years was finally all going to come into play. And Daryl and I talked about this at the end of, you know, December of last year. And he's like, you've done the work. Like, you've done a lot of the mental stuff that people can't get past. He's like, you've jumped hurdle after hurdle. You just need to keep going. You can't give up on yourself.
Yeah.
And so that's what I've been focusing on.
I mean, that's good, though, because I think a lot of people focus on just, you know, I need to drop weight quick. And they, like, do the craziest things to drop weight. And that stuff doesn't stick. And, every time somebody asks me about weight loss, I always just say, like, keep it simple. Like, if as long as you're in a calorie deficit, it doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter if it's like keto or like low carb or, you know, paleo, like whatever you want to do. Like, I think all of it works. I think it's just, you have to stay in a calorie deficit and it's going to suck. I know this because I've been doing this since 2011. It's going to suck. Like, once you like really get into it, but it doesn't have to. Like, it's, you can, I think a lot of people just restrict their stuff. They restrict food and stuff like that. And I think that's the most horrible thing you can do because it really fucks with your mind. It really messes with your head. If you just like restrict, that does not work. I think that you have to figure out a way to have, you know, the better stuff and you have to have the okay stuff. And I think you have to have both. And I think a lot of people get into these diet plans where they think that if I do this one diet plan, it's going to save everything. And that's not necessarily true. Like, you have to play with stuff. And I've told you this, like, since I started working with Daryl in August, I've tried different diets just to see what do I like the best and what I hate. And I've taken a little bit of everything and then I'm just running with it. And that just works for me.
So I want to talk about restriction because you and I talk about how, like, we have a craving, we go to it, but I want to backtrack a bit. You know, we talk about sometimes people want to lose the weight quickly and they do crazy things. Has there been anything like since 2011, you know, you've been on this for a long time. Has there been anything like crazy or out of the box or off the wall that you've used or tried to do to help you like lose the weight?
From 2011 on, I have never done anything like crazy. It's always been something with a calorie deficit. It's never been to the point where I'm like, I say, I'm not going to eat any of this ever again. But I think that last year I realized that I used to label stuff as good or bad. And that has been like a game changer for me to not label things as good or bad. Because if you do that, like it makes things way worse because then you feel like, oh, I had a bad thing. So now I'm bad. And I think that doesn't work. That you're putting an emotional label on food. And I think that doesn't work at all. I don't think people are necessarily good or bad, but by the way they eat. I think that people put that label on themselves, and I think they're just shaming themselves because they had a donut, or a Pop-Tart, or, you know, a pastry. Like, if you want to have all that stuff, have it, but you have to realize that you have to make it fit in to whatever your calorie deficit is, and if it doesn't, then you're gonna gain weight, and I think that's the only way this works.
Okay, do you want to know some of the crazy stuff I did, like, the year I was getting married to try to, like, lose weight faster
I'm sure I know all of this stuff, but go ahead.
No, I really don't think I've ever told you this. So, first of all, I did colonics 3 times.
Oh, my God.
Do you know what a
colonic is? Yes, I know what it is. Oh, are you serious?
For listeners who don't know what a colonic is, basically, you go into this, like, spa-type place. They fill your colon with like warm saline, mm-hmm. and then they use a vacuum tube and they clean out your colon.
Yep.
Because I thought that was going to work. I'm like, oh, I'm full of shit. Like, I'll just get it all sucked out.
No, it's always going to be there. Like, that's not going to do anything for you. That's a temporary fix.
You know, I like poop jokes, okay? Just let me go with this.
I'm letting you have it.
And then some, like, so I did that a couple times, and obviously, like, you drop like 11 pounds and like from start to finish, and then in like 2 days it'd be all right back. But either way, like, I thought I was doing something healthy for my body. It didn't do a damn thing because it takes out the good bacteria too. So
That's
anyone
true.
considering having a vacuum, put up your butthole, don't do it. Okay. Just, and then my sister and I, we found this place called Simply Beautiful, and it was out by her on the, in the East Bay in California. And what they did was they did body wraps. So they would wrap your body, you'd be in like a bra and underwear. They would wrap your body in these like ace bandages that have been soaking in like these different minerals and stuff. And then they would like put you on like a either a trampoline to like lightly jump or like a gazelle to lightly move your feet. And it would help with like supposedly with like cellulite and inch loss and things like that. And I did see results from that. I did see a lot of toning, like, or I guess.
Don't say it. I've had this conversation. Do not say that word. No.
That word. No. So like they would measure you before and after. So like I did see inch loss come from doing these, obviously with a healthy diet and working out. This was an added bonus for me. I have a lot of fibrous tissue left over from like it's a side effect of chemotherapy and
Yeah.
radiation. My arms, my like low stomach, not so much my inner thighs, but mainly like the inner part of my arm, like by my bicep, there's a lot. So I did see results from that, but I don't even want to begin to tell you how much money I spent on those things. Okay.
Because you know
It
it's
was
because you thought it was going to work. Because they okay, did you seek that stuff out, or did somebody like, hey, you should really do this? Did somebody like tell you?
My sister was the one who told me about
There
it.
it
She like,
is.
she was like, so we would go together. It was like our sisterly bonding on the weekends leading up to my wedding.
So you had a spa day.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, between that and then like, you'd have to drink a lot of water, obviously. And then with boxing, because so I had a trainer the entire like year that I was getting ready to, you know, for my shedding for the wedding, as they say in 2012.
Okay.
And I bought boxing gloves. He had pads. And with the stress of planning a wedding, when you have people in your life that are toxic to you, because I had one bridesmaid that was very toxic and we actually are no longer friends. She dropped out of my wedding before the wedding. It was this whole fiasco. I would go to Tyler and he'd be like, all right, I got this workout plan. I'm like, I just want to box. I just need to hit stuff.
Yeah.
And I found that like between boxing and running, those are my stress reliefs.
I don't think there's anything wrong with boxing. I think boxing is a great stress reliever anyway. Like if you have like a lot of stress, I think boxing is great. Now wrapping your body in a magical wrap, I don't know about that. I don't know if I approve of that.
And putting vacuum cleaners up your butthole. Yeah, there was, you know, I was young and dumb, Willie. Okay, let's just chalk it up to Valerie was young and dumb, and she wanted to look hot on her wedding day. And I will say, on my wedding day, I felt like a princess. I
Yeah.
really did. I wore a damn tiara. I had a sweetheart neckline dress, which I was super like self-conscious about wearing. But luckily, the lady who did the tailoring of my dress and everything, my dress fit me like a glove. Not to mention, I ordered my dress a size smaller than I was when I did my fitting in March. And by September, not only did it fit, it was too big. I had to have it taken in even more. So that was a really successful year for me. And I think that during those years, I was successful, but I wasn't losing weight the right way,
Yeah.
especially in 2014. I would weigh myself every single day, sometimes twice a day. And if I saw the scale go up, I would restrict my calories. So we
Yeah.
talked about restriction earlier, and I do want to talk about that. For me, I got so obsessed with tracking and seeing that number on the scale go down that it was becoming an unhealthy obsession. I was never like a purger. I was more just I wouldn't eat, or I would, and then I would binge. And then I would like feel guilty about it and feel shame about it, and then just like I wasn't a person who was throwing up, but I would just restrict my calories. I'd be like, okay, I was eating 1,200 calories and my weight went up, so now I'm gonna go down to 1,000 calories, which
Yeah.
we all know doesn't fucking work.
Yeah. That just wrecks your system even more, restricting that
And
much.
I feel like because I did that for so many years of like just not understanding nutrition and macros and how your body works and a calorie deficit, like not fully understanding those things, is why my metabolism crashed. And my thyroid crashed, and it's taken me so long to repair that. Like,
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't work out to the intensity that I did before in 2017. I wasn't working out like I was in 2014, but I was working out. I would maybe go, you know, a couple times a week for a good hour, and I would do cardio.
Yeah.
And in the past, cardio was my go-to. This time around, I've been weightlifting. So although the weight's coming off slower, I can see the changes in my body composition more, if that makes sense.
No, that does make sense. Because I think, okay, let's talk about that too. Okay, so Ethan's going to love that I'm really promoting this podcast. Oh my God. I really want to talk to you about the strength training, because I feel like that's a topic that a lot of people, like especially women, really shy away from, because I think that it's just, they have this misconception that they're going to get bulky. And so as a person who's been doing strength training, for the last almost a year now, or half a year. So like that's all you've been really doing. You really hadn't really done that much cardio. You've done a lot of strength training, to be honest. But like, for you, what do you think about like just strength training in general? Because I think a lot of women don't do it because they think they're going to get bulky or they're going to gain weight from it.
I think a lot of women are afraid that they're going to be bulky and they're going to look manly, right? Like women are supposed to be slender and toned and have a little bit of muscle, right? Like that's what a woman's body's supposed to look like, but we're also supposed to be curvaceous. Yeah. And so I feel like women in general, think, oh, I'm not going to lift weights. I'm just going to do all cardio.
Yeah.
But then that's for people who are skinny fat. People who are thin, but they have no muscle on their body, and their body fat percentage is probably actually higher than other people who are weightlifting.
Yeah.
So women, I think people in general don't understand that muscle burns fat. And in order to eliminate fat from your body, you need to build muscle.
Yeah.
I've actually been strength training for a lot longer than 6 months. I was working with my trainer, Julie, we started in June of 2017 until June of 2019.
That's right. I forgot about that.
I worked with her for 2 years and we met twice a week, every single week. Now there were some weeks where the only workouts I did was my twice a week with her, cause I was paying for that shit. And I'm the type of person, if I'm paying for something, I'm attending.
Yeah.
I don't care if I'm on my deathbed. Like, so she talked. She taught me a lot about weights, right? Like kettlebell swings and proper form with goblet squats and suitcase squats and just, you know, bent over rows and like how to properly do these exercises. So I feel like that set me up really well for Morning Meltdown, because when I'm at home with my weights and I'm staring at Jericho telling me what to do on the screen, I knew the form I needed to do so I wouldn't get hurt. Because I feel like a lot of times people, you know, when you sign up at a gym, a lot of times they'll offer you one or two sessions with a trainer and people say, no, I'm good. I don't need that. I always encourage them to take that. Or if you can get three sessions for, say, $129 with a trainer, do it. Pick their brain. Have them show you how to use the equipment. I think a lot of people go to a gym and they actually don't know how to use the equipment. I mean, you work at a gym. I used to work at a gym, right? Like we see people all the time do stuff wrong.
I have learned, and I will tell you this, I learn how to lift weights through like YouTube videos, and that's how I learned. And then I like started working out with somebody who he really didn't know how, like he knows how to like lift, but I wanted to really work on form. So like I did a lot of like YouTube video stuff, and that's what I did. I never did a personal trainer, just because it was super expensive. But if you know somebody who has been lifting more than a couple of years and actually had really good form, I think that's a good resource. And I think there's an app called Body Space, and it's the bodybuilding.com app. And it has like a whole bunch of, and I told somebody this the other day, it has a lot of like the workouts in it. So it shows you how to do different exercises with like the proper form. And that's what I use a lot when I first started working out. And I think that's a
resource. And I feel like sometimes women in general, My gym, Fitness Connection, the one that I worked at in the kids club, but I mean, I've been a member of the gym for, gosh, almost 3 years now. They have actually a women's area. It is really small, but it does have some weights and some benches. It has like, I think one Stairmaster, a treadmill and an elliptical and a bike. So it has like four cardio machines, and then it has some little seated weights and a pulley system so you can do some like tricep stuff or leg stuff. A lot of women are intimidated to go into the weight section at a gym. And I know that Amber and I talked about this. I don't want to go to the gym and have some dude who's all big and buff and trying to like, first of all, I'm at the gym to sweat. I don't look cute. Leave me alone. Okay. Gym etiquette number one. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Don't come over and tell me you can show me a better way to do that or blah, 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 or try to fix my form. I don't need you. Just because you're a man and you've got muscles doesn't mean you need to come tell me that what I'm doing is wrong. And I feel like a lot of times women get, you know, they get turned off and they shy away from the weight section at a gym because a lot of times it's overrun by guys.
That's true.
Nothing, y'all. Not all y'all are that way, but some of y'all are. And y'all just need to shut up, mind your own business, offer to be my spotter if I need a spotter, and just let me do my damn thing, okay? Yeah.
I think that if you're new to the gym, like as a woman, and if your gym has like a woman's area, go for it. Like do that first, because I think that's just good. I know that at my gym they have a women's area, and it has a lot of stuff back there. Like because I work overnight and I have to like clean the equipment, but like there's a lot of stuff back there for like women to use that equipment, and I think that you know. And I know women now who actually go in the actual weight room and they actually lift with the guys. And a lot of times they pay the guys no attention. They put their headphones on and they just do what they got to do. And I think that if that's something you have to do, then that's something you have to do. Because there's some creepers in the gym that are going to talk to you. And you can ignore them and be like, hey, I'm in the middle of something. Like, can you just pay attention to what you're doing? And I think that that's just best for most women. Because I think that We all in the gym to do the same thing. We're trying to get better and we're trying to be better. So like, don't even let dudes like worry about that stuff. Cause I think that you can always go to like a front desk, like as a person who works at the gym, go to the front desk and say, hey, this dude's bothering me. Can you go talk to him? And you know, if he keeps doing it, then they eventually will could come out, and that's what you have to do.
And I think it's important for people to not shy away because they're, I get how intimidating that day one is, right? We've all had day one in the gym, and it's intimidating and it is scary, and you will want to run away at least 10 times in your 30 minute or hour workout, whatever it is that you're doing. But I think it's important that you keep showing up, because over time, like, you'll see that the same people are there, right? The same people work out, and you kind of
look for you.
And you'll have like your gym friends, right? Like, I go to Zumba on Saturday mornings. When I don't go for a few weeks and I show up, everyone's like, where the fuck have you been?
This is true.
I don't know their names. They don't know my names. You don't have each other's phone numbers or social media accounts. But if you see someone in the gym, you wave, hi, how are you, whatever. Where the fuck have you been?
Yep.
Like, those are the people I need in my life, Willie.
I mean, you have that on social media now. So, like, you have that too. Like,
I do.
But you have that in a different story, because like, if you don't post for a few days, because I do this to Ethan all the time. Ethan will go like a week without posting. I'm like, dude, are you good? Like, because you haven't said anything in like a week.
And you mean you don't see the micro dots and you get worried?
Well, because like, you know, Ethan's been working so much. So like, I'll DM and be like, hey, dude, you good? Because if Ethan goes more than a few days without posting something, he's either like busy working or something else is going on.
No, and it's good to have someone like you in our lives that, like, check up on us, call us on our shit, tell me not to eat bagels at 10 o'clock in the morning on Sundays.
Because I know how you are. Yeah. I know how certain people are, and if they start something, they will not stop doing it. And so I know there's some people who will take it to the extreme limits, and so I call them out on their shit.
Well, and you know that November and December, I practically lived at Starbucks 3 days a week. And then I was wondering why I gained 7 pounds.
And that's why I called you out on it, because I knew exactly what you were doing.
I was eating my weight in hot chocolate and bagels with cream cheese. But I'm also, to the same token, we talked about, you know, not restricting yourself. I just have to limit myself. So it's not that I can't have hot chocolate and a bagel once a week. It's that I need to not have it 5 days a week.
And that's what I was calling you out on, because I know that you did that before. And I was like, why are you having this every day? And you're like, oh, it's not that bad. And then you looked at the calories and you're like, oh, wait, this is bad.
I like screenshotted it and you. I'm like, what have I been on? I remember, what was it like a week or two ago? I'm on the phone with you getting, you know, stuff at 7-Eleven. And I'm like, do you know how much sugar is in 20 ounces of a Sprite? And you're like, yeah, a lot. And I was like, this is ridiculous.
Because you wanted a Sprite. And I told you, do not get a Sprite.
And the thing is I used to mindlessly drink this stuff in high school. Like, how I wasn't 300 pounds in high school, I don't understand. Maybe it's just because I was young and I had a high metabolism. or higher metabolism, because mine is a turtle trudging through peanut butter. But like, I don't know how the hell I drink soda literally every day. I would come home from school and do homework and have like two Pepsis before I even had dinner, and I'd probably have another Pepsi with dinner.
You got to remember though, like 10, maybe 10, 15 years ago, that probably wasn't as much sugar and that stuff as there is now. So it's probably way more in there now.
Well, like back in, 2002 versus 2020.
That's probably double the amount of sugar since then.
I'm older, but that makes me sound so old. Good Lord. Wait, when did you graduate high school?
Who, me?
No, the other person on the phone call.
Wow. I graduated... this is derailing quick. I graduated in 1999.
Okay, so I graduated 7th grade in 1999.
Who's old now? Who's the old person on the phone now?
The year I graduated 7th grade, you're old. Thank you very much. That's what we just established.
Okay, since this has become the Let's Make Fun of Willie show.
I have a question, though. Growing up, I mean, obviously I had access to soda whenever the hell I wanted it.
Yeah.
I was never taught, proper nutrition. Like, my mom obviously, would make, meat, like chicken or whatever, spaghetti, vegetables. But I mean, if we wanted McDonald's or pizza, we had it all the time. Like, was your household like that growing up, with nutrition?
I've had this conversation with several people, and I think that the problem with our parents' generation was their parents didn't have to deal with all this stuff. So I think like your grandparents, they just ate some kind of meat and some kind of carb and some kind of vegetable. They didn't have microwavable meals and all that stuff. But as our parents grew up, they had that stuff. And then we grew up with that stuff too. And it just got worse. And I think that a lot of people didn't know anything about nutrition, at all. Because, grandparents grew up on just meat and potatoes and that was it. And smoked till they were 60, 70 years old. They didn't have to deal with all that stuff. So I think that just the times changed and the information didn't come with the change. And I think that's what it was. And I can't blame my parents for being like, hey, you shouldn't have that, because, a lot of times there wasn't calorie stuff on labels and stuff like that. Like, that came later. That came in mid-90s. I might be wrong, but from what I remember, I don't even think labels were on stuff until mid-90s or later. And I think that we didn't know any of that stuff. We just ate it because it was readily available.
Well, and I think too with I know for my parents, both my parents had to work. Nowadays, household, both parents for sure have to work. But back then, it was easy to buy a bunch of kid cuisines or bagel bites or pizza rolls, things like that. Kid cuisines, Lunchables, those types of things. That's what I grew up on.
I mean, we all grew up on convenience foods. Whatever was easy to just pop in the microwave, because a lot of us came home by ourselves. Both our parents worked. We didn't really have any relatives watching us. We were all pretty much latchkey kids. We went home and we popped in bagel bites and stuff like that, or pizza rolls and stuff like that. And, all that stuff can be made in the microwave. So, it was easy for us. But, none of our parents knew any of that stuff. They didn't know that having pizza rolls every day was bad. They didn't know that. They're just no. Oh, that's just food for our kid. And as long as they have food and they're good. Now it's way different, because as somebody who has a kid, I'm very, very cautious of what goes in her system. And I don't restrict her at all. Yesterday she wanted juice, and I was like, okay, you can have juice. But then the next thing you have is water, because you're not going to have juice all the time. And I just think that I try to have a balance with her of you can have this, but you also have to have this too. So I think that just works. But, my parents didn't know any of that stuff. My aunts and uncles didn't know any of that stuff either. So I think that's just the sign of the times. They didn't know any of that stuff.
Well, and I think that's part of my, obviously I don't have kids of my own. I've watched a lot of kids. I've nannied. I've taught preschool, served snacks, things like that. There's so much information out there now for parents of our generation, right? For people our age who are having kids now, there's so much information out there about nutrition. But yet we still see that childhood obesity is on the rise, and it's such a big issue in this country that it just makes me sad that people have all this information and they're still not using it.
I mean,
when we see
if you really look at, and I'm not trying to knock parents, but I just think that the information on the internet is so conflicting. And I've just, in the last couple of years, I've just seen this uptick and just like all this nutrition information, and it's so conflicting that nobody knows what to do, because there's so much stuff out there. Because one day you could hear about this, and then the next day is something totally different. And you saw that when keto became a big thing again, that, you know, everybody thought that keto was the only way, and it's really not. Like, and I'm not knocking anybody who does keto, but I think that whatever works for you works for you. Huh?
I said, sorry, Gormy, we're not trying to talk.
No, I mean, I'm not. I mean, for Gormy, it works for Gormy, because it's Gormy realized that he had a problem with carbs, so he just took them out completely, and it works for him. He's done it for the last 2 years, and he's at maintenance now, and he's good. And I think that for him, he actually researched it and it worked. I think for a lot of other people, they do that kind of stuff, and I've seen this where people do keto. And they think it's going to be the magical end-all be-all. And then they say, oh, I need some carbs. And they beat themselves up over eating carbs. And if you want carbs, eat the carbs. But let's just be realistic. If you're a person who loves carbs, and you every other week you're trying to eat some kind of carb, just have the carbs. Like, who cares? Like, you don't have to be labeled as a keto person or a paleo person or anything like that, or low fat or whatever. Just have whatever you want to eat. And if it works for you, it works for you. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But don't lump yourself into this community if that doesn't work for you.
Yeah. And if you notice on my personal, Instagram account, I don't post much about food. And there's a reason for that. Because what I eat and what works for me is not going to work for somebody else. And so, yeah, I get proud of the fact when I cook dinner and it's edible. Okay? Because I don't cook. But when, and I know that a lot of the bigger accounts, bigger influencers get asked all the time, like, what do you eat? Like Poro, right? He gets asked all the time, well, what do you eat? Chicken and rice, chicken and broccoli. That's his thing. That works for him. That's what sustains him at the optimal level he's at right now. Does he indulge sometimes? Yes, he does. And I think that that's actually very healthy, because if you restrict, and you try to eat 100% clean, you're just setting yourself up for failure in the long run, whether it's in 2 weeks or 2 months or 6 months. Like, look at what happened. Like, Gormy's a great example of that, right? He had one cheat meal that led into 6 months of him gaining what, like 200 pounds?
Yeah.
Like, that's how quickly a food addiction can change your entire life. And I think that a lot of people, you know, want to lose the weight quickly. They want that quick fix. They don't want to actually put the work in. They just want, like, I think honestly, if there was a magic pill that you could take every day, eat whatever the fuck you want and never gain 1 pound, that'd be a $1 billion industry overnight.
Yeah. But it's not. It doesn't exist.
Yeah. And I'm glad it doesn't. I'm glad it doesn't, because I'm proud of the work that I've put in these last 3 years and gotten my body to where it is. Like, I'm finally at the point now where, like, literally I'm wearing a pair of yoga pants because it's cold as fuck outside. And my UGG boots. But these yoga pants are pants that I bought when I worked at the PT clinic in 2017, and they're too big for me now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm finally seeing like the actual changes in my body, and it's crazy, because I have a conversation with Daryl about this recently, about how my mind is finally playing catch up to the rest of what's been going on these last 3 years. I can finally look at pictures. Like, I'll send you pictures and be like, I don't see a change, and you're like, open your eyeballs, clean your glasses. And looking back now at some of the pictures I've sent to you, or even just different comparisons I've taken and saved on my phone, but maybe not shared, I can see a difference now, but I couldn't in the moment.
Well, it's because you always see yourself. You see, yeah. You're always with yourself, and I'm not with you at all times. So I can see differences from a picture, because I don't see you every day. Or your boyfriend doesn't see, your boyfriend sees you every day, so he won't really notice a big difference either. So like, it's the people who are not around you 24/7 that will see a difference.
Yeah. And I think one of the things too that's different right now with my relationship and my weight loss journey. So my ex-husband was always supportive. Like, if you want to go to the gym for 2 hours, babe, go to the gym for 2 hours. Right. Mm-hmm. I'll see you in. But then I would come home and he would make dinner and it wouldn't always be a healthy choice. Whereas with my boyfriend, he's a chef and he's like, no, if you're going to be putting 2 hours in the gym, you're not going to ruin all that by eating crap.
Yeah.
So that's been a game changer. You know, having someone in your life who is supporting you in your journey, whether it's going to the gym with you, doing, like, we went and played tennis last weekend. It was super fun. I felt like I was running around a whole lot more than he was, but either way, like, it was fun. I'm not going to quit my day job and become a professional tennis player anytime soon. Let's just put that out there. But it was fun. Like, and it's fun to do active things together. Like, you know, I live next to the freaking Sierra Mountains. Mitch snowboards. I should just learn to, well, okay, I snowboarded once and I broke my butt, so I'm not going to do that again, but I might try skiing or something.
Yeah.
Or even like snowshoeing or riding a snowmobile. Like, you know, I'm in Reno, Tahoe area. Like, there's so many opportunities out here for, you know, winter activities. I need to start exploring that.
Yeah.
And I need to, and I've realized that, you know, working out at home, I never thought I'd be that person who could work out at home. But with Morning Meltdown last year, I realized I could, right? I did probably 80% of those 100 workouts at home, yeah, as opposed to being in the gym. But there's also like things to do, like hiking, and Caitlin's the one that, yeah, Caitlin goes and kayaks and stuff. Like, there are so many things that I can do that are workout based, but aren't in a gym. And that's been a game changer for me too, is realizing that, you know, I don't have to go spend 2 hours in the gym every day.
Exactly.
I can, you know, I can still get an effective workout in 20 to 50 minutes. And, you know, maybe that's walking the dogs a little extra, or, you know, going for a bike ride, which I don't have a bike currently, but I do want a new one. I just had that conversation actually for my birthday. I want a bike, you know, going hiking, different things like that. Like, your workout doesn't have to be in a gym, because a lot of people are like, well, I have kids, I don't have time to go to the gym, I don't have the money to spend on a gym membership. Okay, do you have a legs? Do you have working limbs? Take your kids for a walk. And that's one thing that I talked about last year on my podcast. And Tasha went out and bought a wagon to pull her kids around so she can walk them around the block. So, I mean, it's something as simple as that. And people, I have a lot of people, and I'm sure you deal with this too, and other people in the weight loss community deal with this too. You know, I want to do what you're doing, but I don't know how. Okay, well, I say start simple. Start with one thing, whether it's drinking more water, cutting out soda, cutting down on your carbs, tracking your food, starting with, you know, walking your neighborhood every night after dinner. Like, everyone finds every excuse to not do anything, and then they just complain. I have a big issue in general with people who complain about a situation and then do nothing to change it. And that doesn't, yeah, that's not just weight loss related. That's life related. So.
Nobody's going to save you. No, I truly believe that, like, whatever hole you dug yourself in, you can get yourself out, but you're the only one that's going to be able to do it. Nobody's going to do it for you. Nobody gives a shit. Nobody, you know, nobody owes you anything. So you have to deal with your own shit.
Yeah.
So, like, you can't complain about how the government didn't do this for you, or your boss is an a-hole because you didn't get a raise or anything like that. That's on you. Like, that's, for the most part, that's on you. Like, there's some things that, you know, you can't control, but there's some things, there's a lot of things you can control.
And I think it's easy for people to just blame everybody else and not take any responsibility. Like, I spent a lot of time, you know, gaining weight. Like, I gained 130 pounds and I was hiding my body and I was masking a lot of stuff that I didn't want to deal with. And when I started peeling back those layers last year, I realized a lot about myself, and I'm the only person who can heal myself from the trauma that I went through.
Yeah.
You can't do it. Tasha can't do it. Daryl can't do it. Like, I have to be the one to do it. And it's a lot of hard work, but it's worth it. Like, therapy is one of those things where, yeah, it costs me a lot of money, but I look at it as, okay, I spent all this money on a personal trainer, numerous years I had trainers, spending a lot of money on that, investing in myself. But this time around, that was my physical health. This time I'm investing in my mental health. And that to me is priceless.
I really believe in therapy. Just like, even if you can just get like 4 to 6 sessions, like I say six, at least 6 sessions in, like that shit really helps. Even if you just get 6, I don't even think you need that much longer. Like, unless you have a lot of like issues, like just deep rooted issues. But I think that just for a lot of like the general public, I think at least 6 sessions with a therapist will, like, it can improve your life dramatically. Because you start to unpack things.
And just, like, to cycle back to, you know, the podcast that you just did with Jack and with Ethan last week, like, men in general are told, you know, you're the breadwinner. You're the backbone of the family. You're the support. You have to be strong for everybody else. Yeah. You can't ask for help. You can't show emotion. You can't cry in front of someone. It makes me really sad that men feel that way, because especially for veterans, like, my boyfriend's a veteran, and hearing him every once in a while open up about his experiences overseas, it's hard, but he's like, well, we just don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, that's not okay. That's not okay. No one should ever have to carry that burden with them and feel shame for wanting to talk about it. Those feelings have to come out. And whether that comes out to me or in a group setting for him or to a therapist or to another buddy from the military, whatever it is, like, those feelings and those thoughts have to come out. Because if you let that stuff bottle up, it eats away at you. And you might not realize that now, but 5, 10, 15 years down the road, it's going to have repercussions. For me, my trauma from 2006 that I just now started dealing with in 2019, I'm finally starting to heal from.
Yeah.
Because I finally am taking the time to process all of it. Like, and I thought that I did. I thought that I processed it. I put it away in my file box. It's in a locked box. I'm never opening up that box again. Last year, after I dealt with a lot of the divorce stuff and the separation and the infidelity and all of that, I started dealing with all of my deep-rooted issues that, like you had said, you know, dealing with those things. And I was like, well, holy shit, this makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah.
Realizing I was bipolar. That didn't happen until last year.
Yeah.
It's been a combination of so many things. Like, last year was a huge year for growth for me. And I feel like I just want to continue that this year. And I have been, but also focusing on, you know, simple goals. Like, for me, I want to, you know, be able to run more half marathons. Clearly Flying Pig's probably not happening this year, which sucks a lot because I really want to go, but. Everything in one day. You don't have to fix everything in one day. Like, I put weight on over the course of 4 years. I put 130 pounds on my body in 4 years. And then I lost it and gained it. And then I lost some of it and then I gained it. And then now it's taking me 3 years to lose it, but I'm doing it the right way. And that's what means the most to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm not restricting. I'm not binging. I'm not just doing cardio. Like, I'm doing it the right way. And when I say that, I mean tracking my food loosely, because I'm not good at tracking it, super strict, loosely tracking, mm-hmm. drinking my water, moving my body. It's literally as simple as that, being in a calorie deficit. Weight loss is hard, but it's not rocket science.
But weight loss is, I think I talked to somebody else about this yesterday, but, like, weight loss is about sacrifice. It's about, like, giving up, not giving up everything, but giving them enough stuff to where you can make some kind of progress. And that's just the way you have to do it. You can't go 100% and say, I'm going to give up everything, because that doesn't work. You're going to have to give up having something every day. And even if you have it once a week, that's better than you not having it at all. And I think that whole formula works. And I'm more like Poro. And you mentioned Poro earlier, but I'm more like Poro. I would eat the same 2 meals all week, like Monday through Friday. And then I think, like Poro, he doesn't eat that stuff on Saturday and Sunday. He eats something totally different. And I think that works. And I know a lot of people are not like that. They don't like to eat the same thing for the whole week. And for me, I'm just a robot like that. I'll eat the same thing and I don't care. Because by the time Saturday or Sunday rolls around, I'm like, okay, I need something different. And I'll just eat something different. And I think that's the sacrifice you have to kind of have to make, is you have to think like a robot and eat the same thing over and over again until you get tired of it by Saturday. You eat something different on Saturday, you eat something different on Sunday, and you start all over again. And I think that works. And then that's what I did the first time when I lost weight. And I just ate the same things over and over again. I did the same workouts over and over again. And that stuff works.
Well, and I think to kind of piggyback on the sacrifice word that you used, like, for me, we went out to dinner on Thursday night to celebrate my roommate's birthday. And I got a prime rib dip sandwich. So I got the sandwich that I wanted that tastes good. But instead of getting French fries, I got a salad.
Yeah.
So I'm not sacrificing, like, sometimes people are like, oh, well, you know, I'm on a weight loss journey. I can't go out to dinner. That's too much for me. And in the beginning, it might have been. It might be too much. But you have to get to a point where you find balance and you're still living your life.
Yeah.
And enjoying those moments, right? I think for me growing up, we celebrated everything with food. Even like it wasn't always a celebration, but any event had food, whether it was a positive event or like a funeral or a sad event. You know what I mean? Like there's always food around. And so for me, you know, you get together with friends. What do? You go to dinner, you go out for drinks. Why doesn't Susan call me up and say, hey, let's go hiking on Saturday? Why does Susan got to call and say, hey, let's go get pizza Saturday night? Like, come on, Susan, you're killing me.
But not all your, well then, and that's when you start getting around a group of people who like to do that.
Yeah.
And not necessarily give up the friends who just like to eat, but find friends that like to do that kind of stuff too. And have a mix of both friends. And if they want to go eat, then you can go eat. But you know that when you go eat, you're going to pick something different than most of your friends will.
I think it's important also to, you know, dig into this community on Instagram is amazing.
Yeah.
You have to find the people that lift you up and support you. And I will say that there are people that I've done a lot of unfollowing lately just because the content that people are putting out just doesn't fit with where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. And nothing against them personally, but I want to scroll through my Instagram feed and I want to be inspired. I want people, you know, because sometimes literally in the morning, I am not kidding you. Every morning when I wake up and I'm getting up in the morning and I'm walking the dogs, I will open up Instagram. I'll start watching stories. 9 times out of 10, Poro's the first story to come up because he's East Coast. And he's like, Natural comes on. I can never get that fucking song out of my head. But Natural comes on and he's showing his workout. And he's like, all right, here's the wrap up of today's WOD. You know, it's a 16-minute AMRAP, whatever, blah, blah, blah. This is what I did. Get your lazy ass up out of bed. Get yourself up and do something. And I think that that's good because I feel like someone like me, I need to see that every morning.
Yeah.
And the fact that I weigh less than him now is kind of cool. Not going to lie.
Yeah, even though you made him mad earlier.
Well, it's funny because he's at the point now where he's trying to bulk back up. Like he wants to weigh anyways now. So I told him that I'll give him the 15 pounds that I have left to lose to hit my 100-pound loss and he can just have it.
You two are nuts.
If only that's how that worked, right?
And that's not how it worked. So, how can people follow you on Instagram if they want to follow you on Instagram?
My handle is sweating_until_happy_. So sweating until happy with some underscores thrown in there.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a podcast that you can listen to by the same name. My podcast is Sweating Until Happy 100. Good Lord.
Yeah.
But it's available on all platforms. Willie can tell you because he's really good at saying that stuff.
I'm not saying it. So anyway. Well, I appreciate you coming on, Valerie.
You're welcome. Not like we don't talk all the time anyway, but it was nice to kind of share my story with your listeners. You know, some people who are mutual friends, but also some new people as well. So I'm one of those people. You can always, you know, DM me on Instagram. I enjoy getting to know new people, sharing my story with them, hearing their story. So, yeah.
I want to thank Valerie for coming on and sharing her story and just being open and honest and vulnerable on the podcast. Because, like I said, I've had conversations with Valerie about a lot of different stuff that you've either heard, if you've heard any of her podcasts from, like, different people. She shared a lot of stuff, but like she really opened up on this episode and I really appreciate her just being open and honest with me. Cause I thought she was going to share a lot of the stuff she's already shared and she went like way deeper than I ever expected her to go. So if you want to follow Valerie on Instagram, you can follow Valerie on Instagram @sweating_until_happy_. If you want to follow me on Instagram, you can follow me on Instagram @WillieGillis. If you have any questions, comments or concerns for the podcast, you can email me at whatiloveforpodcast@gmail.com. And that's going to be it for this episode. Actually, Also, Valerie's birthday was about 2 weeks ago, and I was supposed to put this out before that, but I already had stuff already planned. So happy belated birthday to Valerie. I'm recording this before her birthday, but you guys are going to hear this after her birthday. So, you know, shoot her a DM and tell her a happy belated birthday, even though it's 2 weeks later. But, you know, it's the thought that counts. But other than that, I hope you guys enjoy these episodes. I have more coming. I have just a whole month planned. Special episodes that are kind of different than just the one-on-one interviews. I wanted to kind of switch it up in May, so you'll hear something a little bit different, but I hope you guys enjoy these episodes, and I will see you next week.